Approves the resolution.
All those city women want to be God's home, man. And this land.
Stevie Wonder from his album Inner Visions called Golden Lady. And it's 1 minute before 9 o'clock on KCPR San Luis Obispo. And my name is Mark, and I'm standing in for Ron Spaulding and his Wonder Dog Tiger Tank, who will be back next week at the same time on the same channel in his usual chair at 7 o'clock. So anyway, thanks for being here, and stay tuned for those reports from Pete and Joe and Scott from the wrestling. Coming up next is the fabulous radio movie with a cast of thousands.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid, right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh. You laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away.
That's Napoleon the 14th or 16th or something like that, and they're coming to take me away, ha ha, ho ho, hee hee. 2 minutes after 9 o'clock, and welcome to the Thursday night edition of Ops Radio Movie, which is getting underway here at the Fun 91. A lot of people are due in tonight. You can count on them all on one hand. Ken Goto, Al Beckner, let's see, Pat Johnson, remember him? Pat Floydenstein, Dr. Floyd will be in tonight. That's got to be the first time in ages. Let's see, who else? Al Lindley, Paul Gibson. Guy by the name of Jay Burns, who's a top 40 jock all over the United States. And he's promised a talk-up contest like nobody has ever accomplished here at KCPR. We'll have other goodies, so stick around. Next week, however, get out your notepads and paper for this reminder. The return of Sedge, Wyoming, of the Lone Stars, although he's not doing a Lone Star gig, he's taking a tour with Bert Crawford of the PBS Broadcasting System, and they'll be doing a little goodie on television. I think you'll enjoy it. You'll be invited to blow up your television and watch. Let's play some business here, and then we'll be back with some goodies.
The following announcement contains certain serious inaccuracies. We apologize for these and hope they will not spoil your enjoyment of the announcement.
Thrill to the music of Burt Bacharach.
See Mark Spitz in his first all-comedy swimming role.
See H.R. Haldeman as Biffo the Wonder Dog.
And Paul Newman and Robert Redford together again as the back legs of Bette Midler.
Yes, they're all in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
We apologize again for those inaccuracies.
Mm-hmm. Monty Python and the Holy Grail will be at Cal Poly's Chumash Auditorium on Friday, February 27th at 7 o'clock. And then again at 9:45 p.m. Admission is only $1. And I'm sure you'll get off on that. We all watch Monty Python, I take it, on KQED when they're running their goodies. What is that now? Wednesday nights? Correct me if I'm wrong. You know our phone number. Is that right? I got an okay sign for the people in the next room. Okay, let's get underway with our third radio movie of the season.
February 5th is the day today.
Roger Williams, one of the early colonial settlers, arrived in America on this day in 1631.
Close in
Here's one I haven't heard in ages. Bob McEntee, who used to occupy this chair many, many moons ago, in another room, but here in the same building, turned me onto that cut. Another version, yet another, of Jessica. That one done by Juicy Lucy from an album called Get a Whiff of This. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Fun 91 and the radio movie in progress. We've got some people stationed up at the, what is it, men's gym there, Marvin? What is it?
Men's gym.
Men's gym.
Tell them to let me in.
Joe, did you hear that? Hello, Mr. Arangus. Are you up there?
You're listening to KCPR in San Luis Obispo. This is a live sports broadcast from the Cal Poly Gymnasium. This wrestling match between the Iowa State Cyclones and the Cal Poly Mustangs. Scott is on my right. Scott McClellan, Pete Hill is on my left. We're going to go over some of the matches that have happened so far tonight. Scott, why don't you run down what happened right after Iowa State took a 6-0 lead.
Okay, a lot's gone on since then. We scored our most impressive victory in a 10-2 victory by Benji Williams over Hal Saylor. Williams scored a four-point scoring flurry in the second round and then finished up with 3 points to make the victory. That gave us a four-point superior win. In the next match at 142 pounds, Ron McKinney carried a 14-5 record into the match, scored 5 points in the first round, and that was all it really took to win 10-3. That put Cal Poly in the lead 7-6 after four matches. Pete, why don't we transfer over to you and you tell us about the Hitchcock-Galea match.
Okay, the one match that was just completed here saw Steve Hitchcock and Pete Galea go at it in the 150-pound bracket. Galea is 28-1-1 coming into this match tonight, and he's considered number three wrestler in his weight class in the nation right now. And, he sort of sat on Hitchcock, so to speak. It was 11-2, the final on that one. He had a takedown in the first quarter, a two-point takedown. He had a two-point reversal and a two-point near fall in the Galea in the second period. And in the third, he just added five more points for a total of 11. Steve Hitchcock salvaged only two with a two-point reversal in the second period. Right now, we're watching Bob Vieira and Joe Suspan go at it. Suspan of Iowa State and Bob Vieira of the Mustangs.
Hey, Pete, running over this period right now, we're in the first period with about 6 seconds left to go between Vieira and Suspan. Suspan for the Cyclones, Vieira for the Mustangs. Buzzer's going to go off, and I think Suspan at the end of the first period takes a two-point lead, 2-0. Two-point takedown. We'll see if Zespan takes the top or if Vieira takes the down position. No, Zespan will take the down position. So we'll see what happens here, Scott, with 3 minutes here in the second period.
Zespan picked up a minute and 12 riding time, which could be a very important factor if the match comes close. If the match were to end in a tie, they would add up the riding time, and the man who has the most riding time would win the match. So right now he's leading a minute 12-0 over Vieira. Vieira is starting tonight because of the dismissal of Dennis Bardsley from the wrestling team. Bardsley is one of two wrestlers that's not wrestling tonight. The other is co-captain Kim Wasik, who's at 167 pounds. We'll see what Bob Whitaker can do in the next match against Dave Powell, who has a 23-4 mark on the year.
Of course, following this match, there'll be four other matches. This is the 158-pound division. Then follows the 167, 177, 190, and probably the heavyweight. And each wrestling match always finishes it out on a high note, and that'll be a big match to see.
I think so. If we could split these next two matches with Vieira and Whitaker, if one of them could win, I think that we'll be in good shape because Sithel Thompson is an excellent wrestler. He's rated number one in the West. However, he's going against a very good wrestler, too, Willie Gadsden, at 190 pounds. Chris and I will have his hands full with Rick Bickert. If we could take the lead going into that last match, it could be possible that we could knock off the number two rated team in the United States.
Okay, right now the Cyclones are leading in this contest 10-7 against the Mustangs. Zespan just scored a one-point escape. He now leads 3-0 in the second period match. Both wrestlers are out there on the middle of the mat. Crowd is intense here. They've been very vocal throughout the evening as the Cal Poly wrestlers have been able to score a few points here and there and come back in this match. They're only down by 3 points.
I hope that Vieira's inexperience doesn't hurt him out there, but he looks like he's wrestling pretty well and he's staying in it.
Well, we're waiting for a big thing to happen now. It looks like Zespan's trying to control the match.
Right, Zespan is attempting to take down. Vieira lost his headgear, but he's still in there fighting. Zespan did complete the takedown with a leg tackle.
So Zespan leads in this second period by a score of 5-0 over rookie, I guess you'd say, Bob Vieira.
Once again, we'd like to invite all of you down here. If you don't come, you're really missing a great match, but at least you're hearing it here on KCPR.
Right. On behalf of Pete Hill, Scott McClellan, this is Joe Haringis, our engineer, Paul Newland. We'll be back in about 10 or 15 minutes to keep you up to date on what's happening going in into final rounds of this wrestling match here tonight. We'll go back to Dean Opperman.
Thanks a lot, guys. Joe Haringis and company up there at the men's gym. 15 minutes after 9 o'clock, a lot of sports activities and a lot of sports coverage can be heard right here on the Fun 91. Coming up this Sunday, something kind of special.
Sunday, U.S. Amphetamine Speedway.
Sunday.
See the amazing wheel-standing, laughing lunatic Corvair. Sunday.
See Roy Cowboy Williams rope and ride a Greyhound bus.
Sunday.
See Tim Leary, super blown head. Sunday.
See Stan Daredevil Harris set his nostril hairs on fire and drive to Milwaukee.
Sunday. U.S. Amphetamine Speedway, Route 69 at the Willoughby Bridge.
Sunday.
See Heinz, Howard, Carl Kruger and his gas-injected Volkswagen, Mike Collins.
Sunday.
See Jack Burns pick you up in his cab. See Willie the Actor Sutton and his bulletproof vest.
Sunday.
Sunday, free for children under 8.
Over 9, under 2.
Eat tires, Sunday.
Free for everyone, prizes, trophies, and all classes.
Sunday, free dinner, Sunday.
Don't believe him.
No, Sunday, free U.S. and family.
Sunday.
Sunday, see Arnie the Farmer Sedgwick and his supercharged International Harvester tractor. Sunday.
The Disabled Student Services Program of Cal Poly would like to extend a warm welcome to all new students. Disabled Student Services is a recognized student organization and is also part of the statewide Disabled Students Coalition, DSC. During the 1976 winter quarter, the following DSS services will be available: tutoring, special parking, pre-registration, audiovisual assistance, readers, note takers, personal helper assistance, and any other necessary services yet to be determined. All students are welcome at any time to come into the Disabled Student Service office and share, volunteer, or learn more about the program. We ask that you please fill out the Disabled Student Service card so we can better serve you and know who and where you are. Meetings are held twice monthly to accommodate the greatest number of students. The DSS office is located in the Activities Planning Center in the University Union, room 217. And the telephone number is 546-2476.
A public service announcement from your public radio station, KCPR, San Luis Obispo.
Musician Albert King and comedian Albert Brooks.
Oh, boy. How you doing, Albert?
That's kind of rough, man. Kind of rough. Yeah. I'm telling you.
I tell you, it's getting late. But I really like getting down, you know? I mean, I like getting down late.
It's out of sight, man.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hit the sack late as it is.
You're not feeling good, huh?
Rotten, man, rotten. I'm so down today, Albert.
You're down, huh? Oh, what a pity.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
Hey, maybe I can help, Albert. I've got this great joke about these three scientists, an Englishman, a German, and a Jew. Big, big yucks here. It's a real pick-me-up.
I don't want to hear no jokes.
You don't want to hear any jokes, huh?
It might distort my point of view.
No, it's not that kind of a joke. Now look, there were these three scientists, and they were all working on this top secret radiation project. Real hush-hush stuff. Shh.
Please don't make me laugh, Albert. Because my career's based on feeling blue.
Okay, Albert. Now, this doctor comes to these three scientists one day and he says, "Gentlemen, I've got some bad news for you."
Speaking of doctors.
Yeah.
You know, I saw one yesterday and he said, "I'm going to die."
Well, that's what this joke's all about. How three different kinds of people react to bad news from a doctor. Now, in this case, the scientists have been exposed to too much radiation.
Oh, he says, "Ain't nothing gonna save me this time."
I mean, radiation can kill you. It's like eating a TV set.
You know, it ain't even worth a try.
Well, you know, that is quite a coincidence, because that is exactly what this doctor told our three scientist friends. Hey, maybe you all go to the same doctor, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I know you don't.
You ain't taking this serious enough, Albert.
Well, maybe you're right, Albert. Here, I'll try and shape up. There we go. How's that?
But frankly, neither am I.
You're not? Fine.
Now, back to the joke. The doctor said to these three scientists, gentlemen, since you worked so hard on this project, you can have one last wish, anything you want, on us. All right, you know what the Englishman said? I love this.
I don't care about no Englishman.
He doesn't care about any Englishman. Would you listen to this blues great?
I got enough problems right here.
Al, stop being such a gloomy Gus. Now, the Englishman said, all right, if I have one last wish, send me home so I may spend my last days looking over the white cliffs of Dover. Great, huh?
No, I can't see no white cliffs, Albert.
Well, but you don't really have to see them, Albert. I mean, it's just scene setting. It's just exteriors. I mean, it's not...
But these days, I ain't seeing nothing too clear.
You want my advice? Contact lenses. Okay, now the doctor asked the German scientist what his last wish was, and he said, well, I'd like to spend the last days in the great beer halls of Munich getting drunk and listening to music.
I was said getting drunk and digging music. Sounds like a mighty, 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 mighty good idea.
Well, that's better. Now we're beginning to see some smiles. Okay, so the Jewish scientist was the only one left, and the doctor asked him what his last wish was. Okay?
I can feel the punchline coming. Oh, I can feel it. I can feel it coming soon.
All right, now remember now, the doctor said that each of these scientists had only one wish because they were going to die. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier, but it's very important, the joke. If you don't know it, you might not understand
yes!
it.
Yes! Tell me what the Jewish fellow said.
Okay, the Jewish fellow said, well, to tell you the truth, if I got one last...
You know, I'm about to end this too.
Excuse me. The Jewish fellow said, well, to tell you the truth, if I got one last wish, I wish to see another doctor. You heard it. You don't like it?
No,
it's not funny.
No, it's... It's real funny, Albert.
Well, you know, I would like to point out that it didn't get any laughs because there's no audience here, and if there was an audience, it would get
I
big laughs.
I know you're a mighty funky buffoon.
Hey, I thank you for the compliment.
Yes, you're welcome, man.
What a gas jamming with you.
Been a pleasure, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, you're out of sight. I'm telling you, that's cool. Yeah.
That's Albert King with Albert Brooks from Albert Brooks' album A Star Is Bought, and a little blues number with a little comedy. Hey! You all remember, let's all hear it in unison out there. Sure we do. You all remember Frank Stewart from way, way back when. When was the last time you did a shift?
It must have been about 48.
48. That yeah. wasn't here then.
Oh, no. Yeah, oh, it was here. It was back in the days of the spark gap.
The remember spark that? Gap. No, explain it to me. I don't remember.
This little thing went around, made sparks, you see, went out over the radio.
Oh, kind of. Did it transmit, or was it pictures?
Well, you just could pick it up in your lamps, and your ignition coil, your heater, electric blanket, anything.
You broadcasted through those utilities then?
Oh, yeah. I was all over.
Why don't you come over here and give us a little demonstration of what your show might have sounded like way back when? Can you do that? Or you want to wait a little while and do it then?
Let me see here. Yeah, what do we got on the turntable? Where's the crank for these things?
Oh, no. These are new, highly protected. These only track at about 16 pounds.
You're 16 pounds, huh?
You had the old cactus needle styluses, didn't you?
Lighten up. Yeah, they're really getting heavy here.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, well, I don't know. Hey, these things aren't made out of wax. What's the matter?
They're vinyl.
Vinyl. What's vinyl?
Well, okay, guys, let's get on with it.
Oh, okay. Thank you, engineer.
Who's he?
I don't know. He wasn't here in 48, I can tell you that.
No, there weren't nobody here in 48. I gotta plug myself into the wall. My pacer's running low.
Okay, you do that. And why don't you come back and do a little show for us?
Yeah,
do that?
I'll do that.
Why don't you dig up some of your 1948 hits? Some of the songs were big around campus then.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Yeah.
We'll see you after a bit. It's 22 after 9 o'clock at the radio movie here at KCPR, and you might remember some old business from last week. We were going to tell you a little story about Dory Previn and Frank Sinatra, and you know what happened? By golly, we forgot both of the records. Well, this week I've only forgotten the Frank Sinatra. I did remember the Dory Previn record, and the story went something like this. If I had some flutes, we could put it behind there, you know, make a really sad story. Okay, I don't want to get into a movie screen magazine trip, but anyway, the story goes that Frank Sinatra stole... No, let's see. Frank Sinatra was married to Mia Farrow. Mia Farrow divorced him. She stole Dory Previn's husband, Andre Previn. Okay? In short order, is that a good enough story? Did you follow that? Andre Previn left Dory Previn for Mia Farrow. Okay. Right. Who cares, right? Bevo, Bevo, Bebumble. Okay, we had a little song here by Dori Provins, who she wrote. She wrote this song about that particular moment in her life, and it was called Beware of Young Girls.
Beware of young girls who come to the door, wistful and pale, of 24, delivering daisies with delicate hands. Beware of young girls, too often they crave to cry at a wedding. She was my friend, my friend, my friend. She was invited to my house, oh yes, she was. And though she knew my love was true and no ordinary thing, she admired my wedding ring. She admired my wedding ring. She was my friend, my friend, my friend. She sent us little silver gifts, oh yes, she did. Oh, what a rare and happy pair, she inevitably said, as she glanced at my unmade bed. She admired my unmade bed. My bed. Beware of young girls who come to the door, wistful and pale, 24, delivering daisies with delicate hands. Beware of young girls, too often they crave to cry at a wedding and dance on a grave. She was my friend, my friend, my friend. I thought her motives were sincere, oh yes, I did. Ah, but this lass, it came to pass, had a dark and different plan. She admired my own sweet man. She admired my own sweet man. We were friends, oh yes, we were. And she just took him from my life, oh yes, she did. So young and vain, she brought me pain, but I'm wise enough to say, she will leave him one thoughtless day. She'll just leave him and go away. Oh yes. Beware of young girls who come to the door, wistful and pale, 24, delivering daisies with delicate hands. Beware of young girls, too often they crave to cry at a wedding and dance on a grave. Beware of young girls, beware of young.
Little soap opera there. That's from the soap opera TV series. What was the name of that? End of Song? Anybody out there know, maybe? Over the Edge, that's what I'm thinking of. We're going to have to play a little bit of Over the Edge. I think we've got an old videotape of that program. We'll get to that later on tonight. A little pause for some new business here. Save the Children Federation is a self-help charity, and they don't give a handout. They give a hand up. A way for a child and his family to find their way out of poverty. A way for them to become productive citizens. That's what the Save the Children Federation does. But we can't do it without you. Please help us continue the important work we've been doing since 1932. That was the year my dad was born. On American Indian reservations in Appalachia, inner cities, and developing countries around the world, we will use your contribution effectively and efficiently. That's Save the Children, Department R, Westport, Connecticut, 06880.
Save the Children, Department R, Westport, Connecticut, 06880. We're the self-help charity. It's 29 minutes after 9 o'clock on the radio movie. Frank Stewart has offered to come back in and do for the first time a show here behind this board. Now, he's not familiar with the equipment, so you'll have to give him a little leeway there. But he hasn't done a show here since 1948, and we've gotten back into the KCP archives and found some of the old records of his show, and he'll be in after a bit to play some of those for you. And you're not going to believe who just walked in here. Channel 12's old dream boy.
We have a request, Dean.
Let me introduce you before you say anything.
All right. Who am I?
Bruce Ulberg.
No.
Ullman.
Close.
Okay,
close.
Right.
Yes.
Come on up here. Step up to the microphone.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about
what
how
happened
it's going
to the good mic. This is the old
mic. The AKG is now missing.
Again?
I guess.
The second one. That's the second one that's been missing. In, I think, as many, 2 years? 2 mics in 2 years?
Well, when was the last time you were here?
74.
You did a big band show then, as I
long
recollect.
Long time ago. Many moon come.
You
want to
do a little 5-minute big band show?
We have a request that I should get out of the way. Some gentleman is blinking here on hold on line one. He wants For a Friend by Elton John, and he wants to know approximately how long it'll be before he can hear it. So
well,
I said I would check.
Don't hold your breath out there, buddy, on the other end of the line. But we'll do what we can for you.
Don't hold your breath.
Bruce just told a guy there.
He has another question. Hold on.
What's the other question? Well, tell him he doesn't have to scream into the mouthpiece.
It's a complicated request. It has something to do with the Cal Poly wrestling team. So why don't we give them some music and then we'll get this straightened out?
Okay, let's do it.
I remember my boss jock days. We have to keep something modulating.
Right. Okay. No dead air. Of course, we break all rules here.
Oh, here. That's right.
On the radio movie. Yes. Station policy.
This is the radio movie.
Huh?
This is it,
buddy. I mean, you're on the air right now. Millions of people listening.
We're verbose and off the wall.
That's right. Thank you, engineer. Little big band music, as you might have heard on the Frank Stewart or the Bruce Ullman big bands and all that jazz type shows. This is Henry Mancini and a thing called Goofin' at the Coffee House.
Coming up in just about 5 minutes here on the radio movie, an update on the wrestling match going up at the Cal Poly Men's Gym with all of our boys in the band up there, Pete Hill and Joe Horangus. Let's see, where's that other paper so I can... Scott McClellan, that's who's gonna up there. He'll be up here on the air and in your ears. The ears in your ears.
Oh, yeah. I had to clean them out and get a little wax in there.
Frank Stewart, welcome back.
New records. Oh, thank you very much.
You want to take over the board? We got a little jazz going.
What do you got here? I can't hear the music. Hey, my voice is coming back. Oh, yeah, it's mellow.
Yeah, you're getting back into it now.
Okay. We're winding back the time machine.
Very good. Very good. Glad that you're with us, finally.
Back here.
You should be behind the board instead of soldering in the back.
Well, I'll drink to that.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What's next on deck here?
Got any antifreeze? Anything? Battery water?
No, I don't. I could roll one up for you, though.
No. Roll what?
Oh, yeah, it's nothing. Cable.
Cable.
A carbon track.
Okay. Yes, sure.
25 before 10 at the Radio Movie. And
this is Radio Movie?
This is it. We expect thousands of people to be milling in and out tonight. Paul Gibson's going to be here with some of the most outrageous radio pollution you've ever heard in your life. He claims to have worked for CBS.
Paul Gibson?
Yes.
Who's Paul Gibson?
Well, you'll meet him.
CBS, okay.
He's a little bit off the wall. He might even sell our listeners some copper. That's what he does for a living.
He sells copper.
Where he gets it is another question.
Probably out of our transmission line. Why don't we go off the air every once in a while?
Or KVC's ground radios.
Yes, that's right.
Well, Frank, why don't you take the board there and do it just like you would have done 20 years ago or 25 years ago.
25, but it's been a long time.
Did they have jingles or anything different?
Well, jingles. Now let me think here.
It's all your PP.
Let me see the headphones. Okay. We got it right. Oh, my goodness. This studio's so live. Oh, you feel all these little bugs swimming around here. Okay, now let me remember. That's a switch right there. Doris Day of Pillow Talk and Rock Hudson fame and all that stuff. What you gonna do here? Number three, A Guy is a Guy. Now, that's an appropriate title for Doris Day.
That's right. It's dedicated to Dory Previn.
Dory Previn. Okay. Hey, you got Frank Stewart on your radio right now. It's 25 minutes till the big hour at 10 o'clock, and we got the best in sounds all around here on big 2. No, we're up to 2,000 watts. Now, are we 2,000 big ones screaming at you, baby?
I walked down the street like a good girl should. He followed me down the street like I knew he would. Because a guy is a guy wherever he may be. So listen and I'll tell you what this fella did to me. I walked to my house like a good girl should. He followed me to my house like I knew he would. Because a guy is a guy wherever he may be. So listen while I tell you what this fella did to me. I never saw the boy before, so nothing could be sillier. At closer range, his face was strange, but his manner was familiar. So I walked up the stairs like a good girl should. He followed me up the stairs like I knew. Because a guy is a guy wherever he may be. So listen and I'll tell you what this fella did to me. I stepped to my door like a good girl should. He stopped at my door like I knew he would. Because a guy is a guy wherever he may be. So listen while I tell you what this fella did to me. He asked me for a good night kiss. I said it's still good day. I would have told him more, except his lips got in the way. So I talked to my ma like a good girl should. And ma talked to pa like I knew she would. And they all agreed on a married life for me. The guy is my guy wherever he may be. sky is a guy, wherever he may be. And now you've heard the story of what someone did to me. That's what he did to me.
Doris Day from 1955, and A Guy is a Guy. Thank you, Frank Stewart. How'd you like that, engineer? Was that all right?
Oh, yeah, he's really great.
He is good, isn't he? He ought to have a permanent shift here.
Yeah, you ought to hear his impersonation. He's not an engineer. You ought to hear him do the news.
Oh, I haven't heard him do the news, although I understand some of it's we have some of it on old transcriptions, those old big ones.
He's coming in right now to do the news.
Well, is that possible? Well, why don't we do this? We got to put him on hold a second. And we're going to go up to the Cal Poly Men's Gym where the guys are up there. And they've got some wrestling reports for us. Can you hear me up there, Joe and company?
Here we are at the Cal Poly Gym at the Iowa State Cal Poly University wrestling match. And let me tell you that the wrestling is intense. Right now we have the feature match of the night going on between Sithel Thompson of Cal Poly and Willie Gadsden of Iowa State. Let me turn it over to Pete and he'll review some of the earlier matches.
Okay, getting to that, those early matches, Bob Vieira and Joe Sespan faced off the 158-pound class. It wasn't too close. Sespan ruled, dominated the whole match. He beat his opponent of the Mustang, Bob Vieira, 10-2 on that one. The next match, the 167-pound class, Let's see, Bob Whitaker against Dave Powell. Dave Powell rated number one in the Big Eight, number six in the nation. And Powell dominated the entire match, came out with a 14-zip. And at this point, we're watching Sithel Thompson and Willie Gadsden in the last 5 seconds of the match, and it's 20-7. Take it away, Scott.
This match, the score is 4-3 with 2 seconds left. The match is over. Willie Gadsden has won the match. That puts things pretty well out of reach for Cal Poly, as they were trailing 20-7 going into the match. Now they're down 23-7. The scoring went like this in this match. No score in the first quarter. Both these wrestlers were extremely equal in talent. In the second quarter, Sithel Thompson did manage to escape. Then in the third quarter, when Sithel Thompson was on top, Gadsden managed to escape, and then he had a takedown. Sithel scored a reversal, and then with only 1 minute left to wrestle, Willie Gadsden scored another escape. That made the score 4-3. They wrestled it out, and that was it. Last year they had a match where they wrestled a 4-4 tie. Sithel Thompson was going after the win tonight, but he fell a little bit short. In the match that we have right now at 190 pounds, we have Chris Anaya and Rick Beckard. Anything about these two wrestlers, Pete?
Well, Chris Anaya is rated number four in the West in the 190-pound class. We have this one and one more heavyweight match remaining down here at Cal Poly Gym. So if you're not listening on, if you are listening on KCPR, there's still lots of wrestling time left here, and you might just come down and see this exciting action from Cal Poly Gym. Go ahead. Okay, Scott.
Anaya is an excellent wrestler. He owns a 15-3 record this year. The man that he's going against, Beckard, is a 4-1. Anaya is only a junior, so he has another year left of wrestling. He's very aggressive on the mat, and he's not afraid to shoot. They're wrestling pretty even up right now. I think that Von Hitchcock has to be pleased with his wrestler's performance last night. He's already scored as many points tonight as he did against Oklahoma State back in Oklahoma, where they only scored 7 against the Cowpokes there.
That's right, Scott. You know, after 3 matches tonight, it was 7-6 in favor of the Mustangs. However, the visiting team, Iowa State Cyclones dominate right now at 23-7. They're in the first period of this match between Anaya and Beckard, and it's nothing.
This match here just typifies the kind of wrestling that we've had all night. They're both very, we have a little flare-up between the two wrestlers. Chris Anaya gave his opponent a little shove. The referee's warning him not to fight. But we have had excellent wrestling tonight, and I think that we should pay tribute to the two coaches here, Von Hitchcock and Coach Harold Nichols, who has turned out in the past 19 years, his team's never finished lower than fourth except for 1 year. And since 1965, he has won 5 national championships. He also turned out an Olympic silver medalist in Chris Taylor, the 400-pound heavyweight.
Very impressive records indeed, and he shouldn't really be ashamed of, I don't know what you want to call it, ashamed, I guess, of his team's performance tonight. going against number two, that's no easy feat.
So as we have it right now, the score is 23-7. We're going to cut back to the station, and we'll come back after the last match.
Okay, I assume that's my out cue there, guys. And we'll be back with more updates on the wrestling match going up there in the men's gym. Look who just walked in. Rod Serling. How are you, Rod?
Excellent.
Very good.
Hey, guess what?
What's going on?
Okay,
let me turn off the mic here. We got a little spot to run, then we'll be getting right back into the old business.
The Community Canning Center is sponsoring an organizing meeting on February 24th at 7 p.m. in the Recreation Building at Meadow Park on South Street. We feel there is a great potential within our community for gardeners, farmers, fruit growers, anyone trying to be food self-sufficient. A great stumbling block to realizing food self-sufficiency is the high cost and time needed to preserve summer's abundance. A community canning center can put food by, fill the larder, stock the pantry, and engender that peaceful feeling of being ready. If the idea of a community canning center has good vibes for you and you'd like to help us, put it together. Call Bob Skibinski at 544-3674 or come to the Recreation Building at Meadow Park on South Street, February 24th at 7 p.m. and get acquainted with your community canning center.
Get acquainted with your community canning center. 15 minutes before 10 o'clock here at the Fun 91, and news just in from the Bulletin Central and the guys in the other room.
There. Hot flash.
Guess what's going to happen?
What?
Bat Masterson is going to milk a cow against Captain Buffoon in the all-personality radio cow milking contest.
Holy cow, I can't believe it.
Isn't that amazing? You'll also see there at the cow milking contest the Dairy Princesses, California Dairy Princess Carol Vindendal, and the 10th District Dairy Princess Kathy Delanguda. A lot of typical dairy, Portuguese and type names.
Who's
like that.
Who's going to milk them?
Yes. So you'll want to. We don't have a date on this, do we? I'd like to.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, here it is. February 26th at the. Where is it? There's no information.
So right up there.
Everything's all goofed up here.
University Union.
The University Union during University Hour at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's February 26th.
Buffoon's only a heavy maybe. He'll almost. We can't guarantee it yet.
Oh, that's a heavy maybe. Well, you know, Buffoon's a buffoon.
Balloon.
Maybe we can get Rich Carter to go up there for Case Lie instead of Buffoon.
And be sure and listen
possible?
To Captain Balloon.
I milked
the
chicken
six.
Once. About
Rich, come on up to the mic here. Rich Carter from Case Lie Top 40 Radio.
Popping over. From, and every time I come up here, I'm from a different station. I don't know.
Yeah.
I always show up somewhere. I'm not from the folks on the other top. The girl's right. Name, you know. But
Radio 134.
Anyway, I'm going to. I want to try to milk it. You know, I spend a little time on a farm and. And I don't know if I got it right, because every morning, you know, I'd rise bright and early and greet the day, hi day, how are you? And, you know, I'd go out and I'd try and go out where the cows were and try and collect the eggs and then milk the chickens, and just uh-huh. Never worked out right, so I give up farming. I just don't make it as a farmer. Sorry, Aggies, but that's it.
Well, thank you, Rich Carter, and we'll be getting back to you. We really would like to see somebody from Case Lie represented.
Oh, Buffoon's the man.
Buffoon's
yeah,
the man.
He's better at milking.
So I've heard.
Chop, 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 chop
Peter in disguise, and so am I. If you's a python.
How many drawings does it take to make an animated cartoon?
Why, we make from 12 to 14,000 drawings for every picture.
That's a lot of work. That'll make an interesting story for my paper. Mr. Fleischer, can you let me see how Betty Boop does her stuff?
Yes, I'll have her ready for you in just a moment.
Okay.
And I'll have her go through some of her stuff for you.
Fine, thanks.
So, Betty, this gentleman from the press, you know, he would like to see you act. What would you like to do for him?
Oh, Uncle Mac, I'd like to do the part I played and stuff in the show. And the hula hula dance I did in Bamboo Isle.
All right. I'll get the sets ready for you. Now, let's see. Here's one from The Old Man of the Mountain. You remember that?
Sure I do.
And, here's another one. Remember stopping the show? Well, there's another set.
Oh, I like that one.
And now let's see. And, oh, yes, here's your Bamboo Isle. Remember that one, don't you?
Uh-huh, goody. Come on, Uncle Max. Give me a lift.
My weakness now.